Whether you're a Christian or not, there are four questions every man wants an answer to. One is, who am I? I'm talking about your identity beyond your name, rank, and social security number. He wants to know, number two, why am I here? In other words, what's my assignment while I'm here on this earth, in this body? Number three, he wants to know, where am I going? In other words, what's my ultimate destination? Where am I supposed to be? And last but certainly not least, number four, he wants to know, how do I get there from here? In other words, where's the roadmap to help me? God said in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Well, today, my guest will help us find out, what did God set us apart and create us for? And how did we answer the call he has placed on each and every one of our lives? Now, I don't know about you, but I can't wait. So stay tuned. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the country's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today we have with us a good friend of mine, Tom Wolf, who is the co-founder, along with his wife, Pam Wolf, of Identity and Destiny. And he's also the co-author of the highly acclaimed book, Identity and Destiny, 7 Steps to a Purpose-Filled Life. I met Tom and his wife, Pam, about maybe 4 years ago when we were part of a business mastermind group, and I was immediately drawn to them for 2 reasons. One, their passion and love for Christ, and two, their passion for the topic Tom is going to discuss with us today, which is finding and accepting your God-given purpose. Now, is there any topic more important than that? So with that being said, hey, Tom, thank you for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Tom, we always start the show by asking our guests share with us their favorite Bible verse and why. Let us know what yours is.
I'd say a powerful Bible verse that has led me or helped me a lot is Isaiah 41:10. Mm-hmm. And it's, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. That to me is just powerful because I've grown up dealing with, I think, a lot of fear, and I like knowing that he's there with me and he's holding me, he's protecting me, he's walking with me all the time.
Well, so. And I also is one of my favorite verses too, Tom, so I'm glad that you shared that with our listeners. Now, Tom, I know your background, and there's so much. I shortened your introduction because I didn't want to read your whole resume, because they're going to find out a lot about you as we go through the show. But the topic that we're talking about today, man, it's a powerful topic because a lot of men struggle with this of, what was I made for? Why am I here? And you and your wife have written a wonderful book that I've read myself and have shared with my son, called Identity and Destiny, where you talk about finding your sweet spot. I love the way you guys put that, finding your sweet spot. But I want to start with your journey to finding your identity and your destiny. Tell our listeners, briefly tell us what your story is, how you started, and how you came to this point to pursue this particular calling in your life.
Gee, Joe, you want me to go all the way back where I was raised and went to Catholic grade school, high school, and college?
Anything you think would be helpful.
Well, I could say that's the orientation that I had. But when I got out of college, you know, I was pretty tired of religion, and I just went a totally different direction. But I've always been an entrepreneur in my life and took risks, built several businesses, and maybe that's why Isaiah 41:10 was so strong to me, because there were a lot of times where I almost went bankrupt, down the tubes, and I was fearful, and I needed God to help me, and I needed to know he was with me. But I really didn't come to a personal relationship with him until about maybe 12, 13 years ago. And that's when I found out that, You can have a personal relationship with Jesus. He comes into your heart, and that just got me back on track and got me going. But all throughout my life, as I was building businesses, and then I'd sell one, I'd get into another one, and I'd sell, build that up, and I'd sell that, and then I'd get in another one, and I'd build that up and sell that. I finally got to the point where I think I matured as a Christian, where I said, you know, instead of me coming up with the idea and presenting a business plan and saying, God, bless this for me, I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to spend the rest of my life? And without knowing it, what happened was he started bringing all this stuff across the internet, email on purpose. And I started hearing about this stuff. I'm like, what's all this stuff on purpose? So I started reading books. I ended up reading 40 different books on purpose and went to seminars and programs and found that there wasn't a whole lot out there with a Christian bent to it. Mm-hmm. It was all kind of California woo-woo. No offense to you California people that might listen to this, but that's kind of clears it up for everybody. Mm-hmm. Without realizing it, I was really looking for direction and purpose in life. And through that process, I came up with the program and coached that, which was just a bunch of emails and a three-ring binder. And then had some friends who said, you need to turn this into a workbook that other people can leverage your skill, your knowledge, and your ability to answer that question for themselves. So that's when Pam and I took a year and just wrote the workbook. So we've been doing that now for 5 years. We've been coaching people through it. We've been using it in all our one-on-one and business coaching. And it's probably the foundational point that we start working with people from.
Gotcha. And Tom, we're going to jump into that and talk about those steps and identify those steps for the men out there who are listening, because I know men are searching for that path and they think it's too far or out of their reach. But I want to go back before we get to helping them, of get them to look a little bit more at your journey, because you mentioned, and you kind of mentioned it kind of quickly, that you owned a lot of, you know, your own businesses and started businesses, but you were very, very successful in businesses. In fact, I believe you started 6 businesses, right? And sold 5 of them?
Correct. That's about right.
And mm-hmm. So this identity and destiny, which you and Pam are doing right now, this is your 7th business, which I thought was kind of like a God wink, because, you know, that 7 is a divine number. And so I think it's the perfect time to do what you're doing right now. But you started those businesses and you sold those businesses. So you were highly successful at what you were doing. But you mentioned also that you did not give your life to God. And I guess you said 12 to 13 years ago.
Right.
So what happened? What made you make that choice to do that before you even got into identity and destiny?
Well, it was interesting in that we moved into a private gated community here in Florida. And interesting enough, they had a men's and a women's Bible study. Mm-hmm. Pam went to the women's Bible study, and I was thinking about going to the men's. She started moving forward, and next thing I know, she turns her life over to Christ. And she'd come home to me and ask me questions and say, well, what about this? And, you know, how about that? And I'd say, oh, yeah, I heard about that. Oh, yeah, I read about that. You know, it was all the gospel, which I had known because I heard it in church, but I didn't really understand the concept of having a personal relationship with Christ. And once she turned her life over, I started going to the men's Bible study, and I thought, well, I never read the Bible because when I was young, we were told not to read the Bible. Started going to the Bible study, and they gave me a book called Man in the Mirror, which I think you're familiar with.
Very familiar with.
And I started reading that book, and it was interesting in that there were a couple of nuances of learning and understanding that that book gave me that made all the difference. Like knowing the difference between a cultural Christian and a biblical Christian.
Amen.
And a couple other things in there. And we ended up going to a marriage conference. And that night at the marriage conference, the man started talking about having this personal relationship with Jesus. And at least as I could recollect, I never heard anybody talk about that before. And I said, you know, that's what I want. I want that personal relationship, that one-on-one, intimate, loving relationship with Jesus. And man, I woke up the next day and my life was different. My language immediately cleaned up, not through a choice of my own. It just happened. And, you know, I was excited and on fire, and just everything just took a different perspective. And then as he worked with me, my goals, objectives, my what was important in my life started to change. He did it. I didn't do it. So you know how that all works.
Absolutely. I never get tired of hearing people's story and how God works in their lives and how he reaches people, because you hear so many different testimonies. And I'm hoping the listeners caught this, is that when you were very successful in business, you weren't broke down, busted, and disgusted coming to Christ. Because we hear a lot of stories where people have lost everything and then they cry out, you know, what do you call it, jailhouse religion sometimes.
Yeah.
But God can get you in any phase in your life. When I gave my life to Christ, it was a similar situation where nothing was really wrong in my life. You know, it was going pretty good. But just like you said, something was missing. Something was missing. And the Bible tells us that God puts eternity in the hearts and minds of man, that they won't know what he's doing from the beginning to the end. So he puts a sense of purpose in us, which I think is a great segue to that.
Well, let me just comment on that.
Sure.
People don't ask me to give my testimony because I don't have one of those, you know, I was drinking, I was in the gutter, I was on drugs, my business went bankrupt, I lost my family, and then I turned to God, you know? It's like, no, I was doing great. I was right. Living in a 9,000 square foot house, I had a beautiful wife, business was good, I had more money than I'd ever dreamed that I'd have, and it wasn't like I was saying, you know, something's missing. It was just that what I found out was, you know, there's something even better.
Right, right.
And that was, so it's not one of those dramatic testimonies that people love to hear. And it was just a couple little things that I learned that changed my whole perspective. And as I dove into that relationship with Jesus, it took everything that I had and just made it joyous. It was a whole new dimension.
See, but I think men need to hear this, though, because I think it's tough. I know that when I was witness to and someone led me to the Lord, I actually had that guy on the show. His name is John Ramos. He told me after he had witnessed to me and told me about having a personal relationship with Christ, he says he was so scared. And I said, why were you scared to witness to me, to tell me about Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with him? He said, Joe, because you had it all. He says,
yeah.
He says, it's easier to talk to someone when they feel they have no other place to turn. But when you have, like you said, the beautiful wife, the nice home and the fat bank account, you think, why do I need God? You know,
exactly.
I've done it this well without him. You know, I can do it some more. So I think, if anything, there's a need for more testimonies like your testimony, my testimony of saying, hey, there's more. It could be better than this. Now,
right.
With that being said, Tom, let's get into now of identity and destiny and the seven steps to living a purpose-driven life, God-given destiny, finding that sweet spot. What do you think? Tell us, kind of outline for us what you think are those the best way to start to become a man of purpose, to get on that track of living your destiny.
Well, first you have to want to know it. That's for sure. You have to have a desire to say, God, why did you make me? Who am I in your eyes? And why am I here? What do you want me to do with what you've given me? So there's the mental place to start. But where we start in the program is we take an inventory of an individual. This actually came out of some of the things in the work that I used to do before I took on a coaching client. We sit down and we look at a person's communication style. What are their strengths and their weaknesses? What's their thinking style and the thinking traps they'd fall into? What are their core values? What are their spiritual gifts? What are their passions? I'd have this big questionnaire that I would have prospective coaching clients fill out. And then I would go over all this information with them and they'd go, holy mackerel, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a picture of myself in one place at one time where I could go, wow, what an inventory of what I have. Because what we're doing is we're saying, God, you wired me this way. You gave me these skills. You gave me these abilities. You gave me these strengths. You gave me these weaknesses. What do you want me to do with them? How do you want me to use them? So you got to take that personal inventory, and that's where we start. And most people are just amazed of the insight that they get on themselves. And they understand themselves and understand some of the problems and the issues that they deal with in relationships and people and things like that. So that's where we start. Then we say, okay, the next step is what we call a bridge step, where we look at fears, blocks, and limiting beliefs. So what's been holding you back? What have been the issues? What are those programs running in the back of your head that might be holding you back or creating fear or uncertainty or doubt or whatever it might be? So let's look at them and let's try and clear them out as much as we can. And then after we do that, we say, okay, we've taken an inventory. We've reviewed what might be stopping us. Let's take this to the Lord now, and we teach five disciplines of going to the Lord to actually hear his voice. We teach in there how to hear his voice, and in five disciplines to go to him with this information to say, Lord, you designed me this way. Some of this was what I like to call factory install. You know, it was when you were born, it was there. Some of it was developed through experiences in life and the culture you lived in and the family experiences. And he let those experiences happen for a purpose. And that's changed a lot of people's perspective on the events in their life, because he allowed those things to develop so you'd have the skill sets to help people with those tools that you learn. We take that to the Lord, and then we start taking notes and journaling and listening to see what he says. And then we go through various activities to really synthesize it down to come up with three elements that we consider as part of purpose. The first element is the identity. Who am I in God's eye? Whose does he see me to be? And this is just so powerful, because in our Western culture, we don't get blessings from our parents like they give in the scriptures.
Right.
We don't have a father a lot of times, or we don't even have a father who knows how to do it, who gives his son a blessing. So when you get your identity and you get it from God, it's like having your ultimate father put his hand on your shoulder and say to you, Joe, here's who you are in my eyes. Here's who I see you to be. Mm-hmm. And it like makes the hair stand up on your shoulders and your back of your neck when you hear that the first time. I've had people break down in tears. Mm-hmm. The second piece of it is really your destiny. That's your purpose. That's the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in the world through you. It is not, I'm going to be a coach. It's not, I'm going to be a doctor. It's not, I'm going to be a laborer. It's much deeper than that. It's what's the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. So it's a deep thing that you can do in whatever job, whatever role that you're in. And then the third element is your assignment. And here's where people get confused, because they look at their assignment as maybe their job, their activity. It's not. An assignment comes and goes, has a start date, has an end date. It could be as simple and short as, you know, sometimes when out of nowhere, a person that you haven't talked to for maybe a year flies into your head and you're like, gee, I haven't talked to them in a long time. Wonder how they're doing. That might be the Holy Spirit saying, you know, that person needs to hear from you. Give them a call. Mm-hmm. So that's a short-term assignment. Or it could be a long-term assignment like Moses got, where he says, go free my people. Go to Pharaoh and free my people. That was a lifetime assignment.
Right.
So assignment, purpose or destiny, identity, they're the three elements that really answer the questions, who am I and why am I here in God's eyes?
And Tom, I mean, I'm writing notes here. And for those of you out there who maybe be driving and you're listening to this, or you're working out and you're listening to this, don't worry, we're going to have these notes transcribed for you on our blog. So you can have access to this on our blog at realmenconnect.com, because what Tom has given here is a lot of meat and there's a lot to digest. So we're going to kind of pick it apart if we can, Tom, because okay. I have a lot of questions for you. And because I want to put myself in the perspective of that person out there who is looking for their sweet spot and trying to find out what they were called and what they were created to do. You touched on so many great points. I mean, we could spend a whole show talking about the identity component of it.
That's right.
Because you're right. We don't receive that blessing from the Father. But let me ask you this, though, Tom. What do you think, out of all the work that you guys, you and Pam, do with clients and helping them get on track to their purpose, what seems, when it comes to men, what seems to be the biggest obstacle and toughest challenge that they're facing?
Well, I think I heard one time that success is mostly about victory over ourselves. Hmm. And it's that. It's helping them to look at their favorite way of sabotaging their life and their business or work. And it's peeling that onion back so that we can see what are those blind spots, what are those obstacles that we let or we even create that hold us back from moving forward, either in work, in your business, or in your activity with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, so what do you suggest when they're stuck there? Because obviously you probably have some experience with it yourself as you had to go through your journey. What do you tell them? What advice do you give them to do on how they can overcome that?
I really feel that people need either an accountability group or they need a coach to help them through life. Life is not a do-it-alone sport, and Christianity sure is not a do-it-alone sport.
Amen to that.
We need help. We need support. We need other people. And one of the most powerful things that I did in my life about 11 years ago was I created an accountability group. We get together once a week. And this is an accountability group that holds us accountable for our personal and our spiritual lives. So we look at how are we doing in our relationships with our wife, our kids? How are we doing in our relationships with the Lord? Are we spending time in the scriptures and with him every day? How are we doing in the way of holding ourselves out of lust or pornography or any of those things? And it is one of the best things I've ever done. I wish that I'd have had that when I was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Would have helped me avoid mistakes, handle problems and situations in a better way, be more accountable to other men, because one of the strategies of the deceiver is to isolate men.
Right.
When men start to isolate, it's because the deceiver's about ready to attack, and the next thing you know, you don't have anybody holding you accountable or supporting you or holding you up. So I think an accountability group or a coach, a mentor, a discipler, important stuff to move forward.
Now, Tom, if a man, okay, because we're hearing this and I agree with you 100%, but you have that man out there who is a little bit reluctant about how do you go about finding that mentor, that person who's going to hold me accountable? Because I have an issue with trust and learning to reach out and ask for the help. What do you suggest? How did you overcome that barrier of just saying, you know, I'm going to open my mouth and go seek it? What'd you do?
Well, I went to two other guys that I knew who were, what would you say, straight shooters and didn't sugarcoat life.
Right.
Okay. I wanted people who I knew I couldn't walk all over, that I couldn't snow them, that they'd see through it, and we'd all hold each other accountable. And one of the big things that we all say to each other all the time is, this is not a knitting club. We're here to hold each other accountable. And if you're not going to be accountable and if you're not going to be responsible, get out. We'll get someone else. So you got to go to people, not your friends, not your buddies, not the people you think you can bulldoze through and snow them on a situation. But because the guys are in my accountability group, I wouldn't say I'm friends with them. We don't socialize with each other. We like each other, respect each other, we know each other well, but we get together and we report in on how we're doing. So it's a matter of identifying solid people and then asking them, would you like to be in an accountability group with me? And I'm talking about maybe total of three.
Right.
You could go to maybe five, but maybe three is a great way to start. And you lay out some groundwork. And if you go on the internet, you can get information about accountability groups, support groups. I have information that I've collected over the years. So if they want to see, gee, what do you talk about in these things? How do you do it? There's plenty of information out there. Everything's on the internet, as you know.
I know that's right. Stuff you don't want to be on the internet is on the internet.
Right.
Yeah. Now, let's talk. I still think there's some guys out there who they hear this and they hear about purpose, destiny, pursuing what God has called you to do, and they still think it's out of their reach. I want you to kind of, for a lack of a better word, sell them on the benefits, because I mean, to me, I'm very passionate about doing the work that God has called me to do. My wife and I, we were driving home yesterday from a housewarming party, and I told her, I said that when, and you've heard the saying, they said, when you die, you can't have a hurt. What is it? You can't have a U-Haul attached to you.
Correct.
Attached to a hurt, so you can't take it with you to the grave. I told her, I said, I hear that all the time. I said, but I also don't want to take my potential to the grave.
Correct.
I don't want to take my greatness to the grave. I said, I want to die on empty. But give us some benefits on why. I mean, I really want you to explain to these guys, because you work in this, you and your wife work in this all the time.
Right.
And so you know the importance of it. But tell us, convince us, why is it so important to live a life of purpose and destiny?
Well, first of all, we're created for that. And God's not playing games with us. It's not like he's saying, hide and seek. Hey, I'm not going to tell you what your purpose is. You know, it's like he wants you to know your purpose more than we do.
Right.
So we have to say, hey, Father, I want to know this. So, you know, if you're living a life of what I call fear, fatigue, and frustration, then you know you're not living on your purpose.
Wow.
Okay.
Say that again. Say that again.
Fear, fatigue, and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wake up every Monday and you go, man, I'm afraid of what's going to happen this week.
Right.
And it's like, you know, I'm just worn out. I feel like I'm pushing, you know what, uphill all day long, every day. This is terrible. And you're frustrated with everything. You feel like you can never get anything in alignment or worked out or straightened out. Well, then that's a pretty clear indication you're not living on your purpose. Because when you're living on your purpose, a lot of your fear goes away, a lot of your fatigue goes away, and a lot of your frustration goes away. Because what you're doing is, when you're living on your purpose, it's like if you think back on your life and you pick one spot where you say, what was I doing and where was I when everything was in flow? I was in synchronicity. I was like, it's like an athlete being in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Time goes fast. Everything falls in place. Everything's moving quick. That's like living on your purpose.
Right.
That's what living on your purpose is like. So if you want to live like that, you got to discover your purpose and then start moving to it, because it gives you energy. You know, there's power. There's confidence. I mean, you want confidence? Mm-hmm. Know that you're walking on the path that God wants you to walk on. You'll feel real confident when you know that.
Right.
So there's energy, takes away the fatigue. You're like, man, this is easy. I'm living in my sweet spot. I'm using all my strengths. It comes easy. It works. It's powerful. You have focus. You've got fun. Your day becomes fun. Your work becomes fun then. You're free. You don't feel like you're tied down with all this stuff that you hate doing and don't doing. You've got freedom. And the purpose becomes your plumb line for the rest of your life.
Right.
In other words, all your decisions from the time you discover your purpose moving forward become easy. Why? Because you've got this plumb line. Everything on this side, which is in alignment with your purpose, you agree to. You do it. If it's not in alignment with your purpose, you don't do it anymore.
Right.
You get off that committee. you stop hanging out with that group. You start going, stop going down that path. It makes your decisions easy because you want to be in alignment and under that wing of protection with the Lord. Maybe that's why Isaiah 41:10 is so important to me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Mm-hmm. I know I'm with him and he's with me and I'm walking down that path. So does that answer your question or you want more?
Definitely. No, that's exactly because who doesn't want to live with freedom and have fun? And, you know, when they think about Christianity, we keep thinking, oh, they're these straight and narrow, stiff-necked people. No, if you get on purpose, because, Tom, I know you and you know me, and people who have been around us know that we have a lot of fun because we love what we're doing. We love what God has called us to do. And so I love the way you broke it down, but I really love that you mentioned about what it would cost us when there's a lot of people out there who are living in fear, a lot of men living in fear. Fear as fathers, fear as husbands, fear as leaders on their jobs. There's a lot of men who don't want to get up every morning. My thing is, if you need an alarm clock to get up every morning, you're not doing something right. Your purpose to me gets you out of bed in the morning. You know, okay. I was up last night up probably to about 1:30, probably shouldn't have stayed up that late, but I was up early this morning to spend time with God, but I had a hunger and desire to be in his presence. Right. And I wanted to talk to him because I believe I get my assignment from him. Like you mentioned in the steps about getting that assignment. I want to hear from God and I can't do this without his help. And then you mentioned about the frustration. I think a lot of times we as men, we're not intentionally trying to sabotage our relationships. We're not trying to ruin our marriages. We're not trying to be a person that people don't want to be around. But a lot of times we get frustrated because we keep thinking, maybe I should be doing something different or doing something better, and we have no idea how to do it. So right. I love the fact that you outlined for us that it would give us energy, that it would give us confidence and get us, especially what you mentioned, Tom, about focus. I love that, about clarity of focus so we know what to say no to and not saying yes to everything, that there's certain things that we don't have time for. Mm-hmm. But before I ask you another question, I wanted to mention this because you were talking about the scripture and your favorite Bible verse, but I pulled a verse from your website that I really want to mention here because you talked about having focus and knowing that you have energy, that you put a scripture on your website on identityanddestiny.com, John 17, verse 4, and it says, and I quote, this is from Jesus, "I have brought you glory on earth." He's speaking to the Father. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." By completing the work you gave me to do. And we all know Jesus' last words when he took his last breath was, "It is finished."
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, Tom, but I want to be able to say, "It is finished." When I'm done.
Oh, yeah. How would you like to be able to get in front of the Lord and say, "Hey, I completed the work you gave me to do"?
Amen.
It even shows that Jesus had a purpose, right?
Yes. Yes.
So if he had one, we all have one. We just have to find it.
We just have to find it.
Takes work, though.
See, and I love the fact that you and Pam have dedicated your lives now, going after having all these businesses, all this success, have decided that this is going to be your purpose to help others find theirs. How awesome is that to get up every morning and do every day?
Well, it's really interesting. One of the ways you validate your purpose is you look back over your life and the purpose statement that you come up with is in alignment with the things in your life that gave you the most joy. Mm-hmm. So my purpose statement is to love and honor others while guiding them to a better understanding of themselves. Now, as I was building businesses, I look back over my career. The thing that I enjoyed most was creating a business culture and an environment where people found out what their skills were, focused on their strengths, and then grew within my business in their role by exploiting their strengths, which helped them and helped me. So when I look back on that and I came up with that purpose statement that the Lord gave me, I said, "Oh, now I understand why I enjoyed that so much." Now I understand why that was so much fun for me to create a culture
right.
and work with people so right. that they could do better and be happier at work than they were at home. So it was fun. And I look back on that and I go, wow, here I was executing on my purpose, but I didn't know it. Now that it's consciously, I'm consciously aware of it, I can actually use it.
Right.
I can make decisions to do that. And that's why I'm doing what I do today. I work with people. I coach them in business. We have groups. I coach them through identity and destiny. I'm helping them to get a better understanding of themselves so that they can walk in conjunction with the Lord on the path he has for them. Wow.
Tom,
that's significant. That's satisfying.
Absolutely. That is wonderful. You know, it also is a testimony to how great God is, because even when you were distant from him and did not have that personal relationship with him, he was already exposing you to his plan for your life. It's just that you had your own agenda.
Correct.
But when you lined up your agenda with his agenda, step back, man, look what the Lord has done. I mean, that's just an amazing testimony. And I love the fact that you mentioned about your purpose statement. And I know a lot of people, maybe a lot of guys, they listen to that and thinking, wow, he has a statement for his life. And when you are on purpose, you do have a statement. You know, my purpose statement for my life is to use my God-given talents and gifts to help others achieve God-given goals.
There you go.
And so the question is, what are my God-given talents and gifts? My ability to communicate, motivate, and to educate. And what are God-given goals? To serve others while you're serving him, but not in that order.
Excellent.
So, but you're right. That becomes my plumb line for all my decisions now. Is it using my talents and gifts to bring him glory and serving other people doing it?
Yeah.
And so, again, I had my own agenda before I came to Christ. And then when I got with Christ, I said, oh, so that's what you wanted me to use those gifts for.
Yes.
Not to pick up women.
Yeah.
So I think
exactly.
It's great.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, Tom, I want to challenge you, because you mentioned something earlier in the interview about if you could go back when you were younger. So we're going to go there a little bit.
Okay.
If you can go back to you at a younger version of you at the age of 21, what would you tell that younger version of Tom at 21 to do first, if you can go back and talk to him?
Well, the first thing I'd say is get that personal relationship with Jesus. But if he wasn't listening to that, I'd say that more than anything, get a coach, get a mentor, get a discipler. I never had that in my life.
Right.
And one time I heard a pastor say, he called it stupid, self-imposed storms of life.
Say that again.
Stupid, self-imposed storms of life. And I heard that and I wrote that down and I started thinking about it. And I look back over my life because, you know, my life was far from perfect. I blasted through a couple marriages and messed up a lot of relationships, almost went bankrupt several times and everything. And as I looked back over my life, I thought, you know, I think that for all of us, about 95%, if not more, of the bad experiences, the problems, the issues we've dealt with were stupid, self-imposed storms of life.
Amen. Amen.
The only ones that I would say are not stupid, self-imposed storms of life is that person who runs through a red light, T-bones you, and you end up in the hospital with a lot of body parts broken. That wasn't your fault, you know? You didn't cause that. And there are others like that, but they're a minimum. So men, if you've got problems, if you've got issues out there, if you've got financial issues, marital issues, relationship issues, whatever it might be, you got to take responsibility. And it's your own stupid self-imposed storms of life. And if you have a mentor, a coach, a discipler, someone who you could sit down and discuss this with, they can say, no, don't do that. No, change it. Do this instead. No, avoid this. God's got his own coaching tool, which is the Bible. And if you study it and you accept the values and beliefs that are in it, you can learn to avoid your own stupid self-imposed storms of life. But until you have those, get help. That would be my big thing that I would say. At 22, if I could do that, man, I think my life would be a little different.
Well said, so. Tom. Well said. You know, I had additional questions for you about that, going back to that younger person, but you already answered those questions for me. So that's fantastic. Oh,
sorry.
No, okay. That is awesome, because a real man does accept responsibility. He leads courageously. He accepts responsibility and he rejects passivity. We always talk about that. And so that's what you're talking about. You know, I will ask you another question about your youth. If you could go back to that 21-year-old, what would you tell him to do more of? Something that he was doing right that you say, wow, you should have done more of that.
Well, for those of you who don't know your purpose in life, and for those of you who are looking for some kind of a touchstone to guide you before you buy identity and destiny or get a coach to help you, I would say focus on becoming the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'd say to that 21-year-old, focus on becoming the best version of yourself, both physically, relationally in your relationships, spiritually, and intellectually. Become a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. I read for 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes. That's giving up one stupid television show.
Right.
And I read over 30 books a year. And I have read that if you read 50 books, that's the equivalent of a PhD.
Wow.
So I now have several PhDs, because all I read about is business and spiritual. Mm-hmm. So take an area of focus and read and try and keep yourself in good physical condition. Work on relationships. How do you build relationships? Correct the relationships that are faltering, okay? And then spend time with the Lord every day. Mm-hmm. You do that, and man, your life will turn around in a different direction. You'll be happy. You'll avoid stupid self-imposed storms.
Right.
And I think you'll eliminate financial problems. You'll eliminate relational problems. You'll eliminate all kinds of personal issues. I'd say to that.
That is great, Tom. Thank you so much for sharing that. And now we're coming close to the end of our broadcast. So you know what that means. It's time for our Man Up questions. And now, the made-up questions, Tom, are five quick questions, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And I ask you these questions, and I just let you rip at them. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, Tom, let's get started then with the made-up questions. Here's the first question for you, and it starts with the letter M. M stands for mistake. What mistake, Tom, did you learn the most from as a man?
Well, the mistake I learned most from as a man. You know, I think I just answered that. I think the mistake, but it's looking back now, is not having other people in my life
right.
to help support me and guide me and direct me. Mm-hmm. I'd say that was the biggest mistake that I made.
Okay. Now, the A represents attitude, Tom. If you could change one attitude in men, what would it be?
You know, one of the things that really ruffles my feathers is I see men who are not the leaders in their family. Mm-hmm. They abdicate direction and control to their spouse because they go, you know, it's a lot easier for me just to give in and avoid the hassles than to stand up and be the leader spiritually, be the leader in the family, and really, you know, make mistakes, get your wife's advice, get your wife's guidance, but you need to stand up and be the decision maker and the leader. That's the thing that I would say. I think that's a problem that I see in the Christian church more than any place else.
Okay. Now, the N stands for next, Tom. What's the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? You're a man of purpose.
I'm doing it right now, Joe. I mean, what I'm doing is I'm working with Christian individuals and entrepreneurs, and I'm trying to make them more successful, both as men and as business people. And the reason that I think that's important is because if I can help a business owner to be more successful and do it on a Christian basis values and beliefs, then the world's going to look at them and say, "Ooh, mm-hmm. how'd they do that? Mm-hmm. I want that success." I mean, we've got an advantage that the rest of the world doesn't have. We have the Holy Spirit on our side.
Amen, brother.
So if we've got the Holy Spirit on our side, I would think that a Christian business owner ought to be able to dominate it in his community and in his industry. And the reason he's not, you know, I don't know where this came from, but it's one of my all-time favorite phrases now. God feeds all the birds of the air, mm-hmm. but he isn't going to throw it in the nest.
I know that's right.
Men, get out there and make it happen.
You know, and we need to hear this as Christian men. I'm so tired of us being depicted as these wimps, and we're not strong, and we're not ambitious. And no, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. I'm so glad you said that, Tom. That was perfect. And you got me sidetracked. I got to finish the man up questions. Okay, okay. But the U stands for understand. Now, Tom, when you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man, but you know better now?
Being a man, but I know better now. I think that the fact that we as men need to set the tone and the pace for our families and for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, a long time ago, there was a statement, the pace of the boss is the pace of the gang.
Right.
And if you're setting the pace for here's how we live our life, here's how we work, here's how we focus, here's how we learn, here's how we spend time with God. You know, doing that daily in the family so that your children see it, so your wife see it, ooh, that's the role of a man. That's what you need to do. Tone and pace. Pace of the boss is the pace of the gang.
Absolutely. And Tom, here's the last letter. Last letter is P, and the P stands for problem. Now, as a mighty man of God, what one problem in your life do you still struggle with as a man, even today?
I was raised in a German Catholic family where there was not a lot of emotion displayed. I don't think we ever told each other we loved each other. Mm-hmm. There was a specific incident in my life where I remember displaying emotion and actually getting laughed at for it. And I think the problem because of that is I still have problems sharing emotions, displaying emotions, and being able to know what my emotions are saying to me and how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like I have anger problems or anything like that. It's right. More, you know, Pam, I remember when we first started dating. You know, she used to talk about public displays of affection. Oh, my God. Public displays of affection were so out of line for me that it was just like that was almost like sin.
Right.
So even still, I have to realize that I think managing and sharing my emotions with others is a point that I have to work with and be aware of constantly. So.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks for your transparency and sharing that with us. One of the reasons why I asked the man up questions is because obviously I'm recruiting these great men of faith like yourself to be on the show so other men can look into their lives, like we say about mentors, discipleship, and coaching and that kind of thing. But one of the things I think is lost in it is that they always believe that men like you, men like me, and the other guests that I've interviewed, we have it all together. Not realizing that it still is a daily grind and we still have to deal with our past issues. And so I love the man up questions because just like you're saying, I struggle with the same thing you're struggling with as far as I didn't come from a family like that. And so my wife gets on me about it too. But I want men to know that we're just men. It's just that we're pursuing Christ at all costs, even dealing with our hurts, our habits, and our hangups. So I appreciate you sharing that with us, man. I really mm-hmm. do.
Thank you.
Well, Tom, we've come to the end of our show, but guys, don't you worry. We'll be back to do it all again next week. Remember, this is a weekly podcast. Every Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m., a new episode will be released. We'll have a new guest with new insights and new lessons to make sure. So make sure you don't miss it. And I'd like to thank Tom, thank you for joining us today and being on the show.
Thank you.
And Tom, quickly, for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you, Identity and Destiny, and what you and Pam are doing, how could they contact you?
Well, they could email me, and that's tom@identityanddestiny.com. All one word, identityanddestiny.com. They could go to the website, which is www.identityanddestiny.com. And on there, we've got three choices. You can look at the Identity and Destiny workbook and tool. You can look at becoming a licensed facilitator, where we train people to use Identity and Destiny in a coaching tool or a counseling tool, or just helping other Christians go a little deeper. And also we have Tom and Pam Wolf Coaching, where they can look at what are the coaching services that we offer. So they can call me at 813-960-1810 if they want. But I'd love to have the opportunity to talk to anybody who wants to maybe investigate coaching or getting more involved in helping other people discover their purpose, or just discussing any issues that I could help them with.
Well, thank you, Tom. And I will give you a quick shameless plug, and so please don't be mad at me. Mm-hmm. Tom and Pam are also my coaches as well. I've reached out to them after meeting them several years ago, and I reached out to them because I was looking for a coach. And so he's not just telling you something that is high and mighty, this pie in the sky thing. No, it really does work, because as successful as I've been in business, I know I need some outside eyes looking in to help me go to the level that God wants me to be, even with this podcast. So make sure that you do reach out to Tom and Pam and look at what they're doing. Great resources they have there for you. Anyway.
Oh, thank you,
Joe. Well, thanks, Tom, for joining us. And guys, listen up. I need you to do me a huge favor, and this is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program. It's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. Now, until next time, I'm Joe Martin, the professional man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in his grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.